Welcome into a very special edition of The Nuts. I'm Mike Palm. Noah Malshaw, he's in Dallas, Josh, being deposed for a lawsuit. I'm not really sure the details. Maybe it's larceny by false promise. Maybe Beeson's suing him. He told him he was a host. But anyhow, he's not here today. And we have a very special show dedicated to baseball. It's the Josh Towers Power Hour.
There it is.
On the Nuts. I mean, you usually join us for half an hour, get you for the full hour today. We're going to go in-depth into these races in each division, who you think is going to make the playoffs, and what do teams need to do at the trade deadline to give themselves the best chance.
A lot of things.
A lot.
I don't know, man. Either that or it's just baseball is pretty equal these days, and you just call it a day.
We also have Bob Nightingale, USA Today baseball columnist. He's also a Hall of Fame voter. I know you probably have some questions about how that works as well, but we're going to delve into the races in the East. That's where we're going to start, in the NL East and the AL East. Let's start in the AL East. Currently, the Red Sox hold a half-game lead over the Rays. Yankees and Blue Jays, almost a long-distance phone call back here in this race, and the Orioles are out of it. Circa has to win the division odds posted. Even money on the Red Sox, you got to lay 130 to the no. The Rays are the second choice at plus 170, lay 215 to the no. Yankees are plus 870. Blue Jays, you can get better than 10 to 1 on them. We had Rich Hollenberger. He is the Rays studio host. He also does college basketball for ESPN, Josh, on the show the other day. And I asked him about the race, and he thinks his Rays should actually be favored to win the division.
Yeah, I can't. I actually can't argue with him there, to be honest with you. I mean, listen, the Red Sox have been fantastic, and they're still good. A little falter coming out of the break, actually coming into the break and coming out. And then back to two in a row in Toronto, or Buffalo, I should say. And again, I was trying to explain that to people. Like, it's such a – you come off the series in New York where it's always pressure and all the things that come in New York City. And then you went to Buffalo where there's nothing, which is a beautiful thing because sometimes we need a break from everything. And so there's extra sleep and – get to the field early, but it's not a big stadium for major league, you know, qualification. So you just kind of like relax and do more of this work. You do more studying and stuff. And it was kind of a perfect series for Boston to go to right after that New York series. With that said, I still think that the division is too close. I think Tampa's too experienced. I think there's too many questions coming down the stretch with Boston. Not necessarily from a coaching perspective, but internally with the players' perspective of, you know, what happens when the we're trying to win the division or we're on the cusp of not being in the division, can they handle it? And Tampa has been down that. Obviously, what Tampa did last year, the adjustments that they made, I mean, they got rid of players and seem to be better this year than they were last year. And then again, the way Kevin Cash uses the bullpen mainly, they cycle out guys all the time that we don't really catch on to. And they have such a large stable of relievers that they use. And so they may burn them, but then somebody else comes in, and everybody has adopted the same philosophy with Tampa, and they all throw 100, which is kind of the criteria to be a Tampa reliever anyways. I just think that Tampa's probably in the best position, given their back end is the most important part of their team, and it's probably the most important part of any team. I don't think the Yankees, even though they've won four in a row, I still think there's just way too many questions with that team. And I don't think it's Toronto's year yet. I think they're – probably next year. I mean, they have to go get something, Mike, but
they might need a couple of arms in the bullpen.
They definitely need that. There's no question. 16 saves and 26 opportunities. I mean, one, the opportunities aren't really presented, and two, a lot of teams are doing that, but there's nobody really solidifying it. And they have their close. There's a lot of like, you know, 40, 50 save opportunities around where you not have one guy who's going to get all of those because it just doesn't work that way. So you'll see blown saves, or you see a blown save like what I think in like the sixth inning or something. So it kind of offsets that number a little bit, but just the fact that there's not that many opportunities shows a little inconsistency with the back end of the bullpen, and then creating those opportunities when they're there, they don't have that yet.
We talked last week on Thursday when you were on the show with Amal and I that I was high on Toronto, that I thought they could make the playoffs, possibly catch the A's for the wild card. You made the argument that maybe going to Toronto, which they're going now, they said goodbye to Buffalo last night, going to Toronto might be more of a distraction than a help to them. Look, I bet Robbie Ray last night. He gave up 3 home runs. They have to have Ray and Ryu win for them big down the stretch. And then they have to pick up on the fact that they have some depth to the rotation with Stripling, Mats, and then the kid Manoah has been good too. The question obviously is the bullpen. But I mean, if Ray and Ryu can be legitimate 1 and 2, I think they're in the mix for the wild card.
And Ryu can be. We know that. I don't know.
This is the Nuts. I'm Mike Palm. He's Josh Towers talking about the AL East race in 5 minutes. We're going to have Bob Nightingale from USA Today join us, talk about the NL East race specifically. You know, we've seen Ryuubi Cy Young like when he was with the Dodgers. Had a tremendous year. Had two starts in Colorado where he gives up seven earned both. I think outside of those starts, he wins the Cy Young that year.
I do too. I say, yeah, sometimes we just need to check that off the list. Just right? Across the Clayton's had his problems there too. Yeah, so Ray has been better for sure. The walks were always his issue. Mm-hmm. But there was a couple years ago, I want to say like four-ish, in Arizona, where he was a bet on every day. No matter what, no matter who, no matter when, we bet on Ray every single start because people hadn't caught on yet and he was that good. Can he get that back? I don't know. He's cut the walks back, I feel like, a little bit. The home runs have increased. It's a little offset. I still think he has more that he needs to work on. I don't know if he's a... I don't think I can count on him as my 1-2 punch, right? I can use him down the road. Stripling, who I always felt was really good, the Dodgers ruined him. Because now we're seeing this whatever version of whatever we're seeing in Toronto's not it. I think there's a better version in there, but the Dodgers, to me, the way they used him ruined him, and I don't think mentally he's ever overcome that. And then we're asking Alex Manoah to do some things or some young kids, but they're only going to use young kids so much. I don't care if Manoah's down the stretch and they need this series to get the postseason and Alex is perfect through five, they're still going to pull him. There's no confidence. And so then what? Who's your bullpen? You don't trust them either. They haven't been very good, but you're going to rely on a team and a bullpen that hasn't been as good as your starter is that day, but he's young. And you have all these things you have to factor in as well. So I think there's moves that need to be made. I think obviously for most teams, it's pitching. The Toronto, if they want any shot of this year, they have to go double up on some pitching somewhere. They're seventh in the league in runs scored. I mean, the offense isn't the issue.
I think the good thing about the Blue Jays is they have some talented infielders in their minor league system. So they do have some capital to try to spend if they want to make a run this year. I want to talk about Robbie Ray and the shortening of the arm swing, which he did 2 years ago when he was in Arizona, right? He changed his delivery. Same thing that they're doing in Cleveland with Aaron Civale. How do you feel about that?
I don't like it at all. It is such a drastic Giolito. He did it. And he went from a crazy extension with the right arm to now it doesn't leave his number that's on his jersey right here. And so it causes arm problems. It causes inconsistencies, especially with Giolito. If his timing of his delivery isn't perfect, he's all over the joint. And hence his really good or really bad games. And Robbie Ray can be like that as well. There has to be this nice rhythm to the separation of my right and left arm coming out of the glove with the ball. There has to be a rhythm to that. But it also has to match what my shoulders tell me I'm doing. And if it doesn't, then we have a big issue. So I can shorten this up because sometimes I do get a little too long, but I can also get too short, which is what Giolito does. And if I'm anywhere in between that and my body wants to go or I'm not waiting back in time, it just causes too many problems. And I think it's dangerous. I watched some kids from Ole Miss. We had a couple kids get drafted from Ole Miss this year pretty high. They all of a sudden drastically went to that as well. And the velocity drop, the elevation of the ball, the timing, they got rocked. And then you can see the rhythm of the season coming in, and it slowly started to extend, slowly started to extend. So I think it's dangerous when you start messing with that.
Before we leave the AL East and get to Bob Nightingale, your team, the Yankees, you won a World Series title with the Yankees. When you go to DraftKings odds to make or miss playoffs, they're a pick 'em. They're -110 either way, make or miss the playoffs. Currently, they sit 3.5 games back of the A's. Do you count the Yankees out? I know there's a lot of talk. They haven't made any moves. Are they going to make any moves? Do they have enough pitching? Kluber, where do you think the Yankees are? Would you make this bet either way, yes or no, on the playoffs?
No would be my play on the playoffs. I don't think that, again, I think Tampa's going to extend. And even if I think Boston comes back, the Yankees aren't on Boston's level, so I don't think they can pass them. I mean, so you're sitting in third in your division anyway. So in my opinion, I think it's a no with the Yankees. It's the same thing with them. Their pitching's great, eighth and ninth and on both sides, starting and relieving, like as far as ERA is concerned. I mean, the pitching's really good. Now I get that Boone doesn't always use it properly, so there could be more rhythm to that. They're 29th in stolen bases offensively, and they're 23rd in runs scored. So what are we doing? You're sitting back hoping to hit home runs to produce anything. You're not going first to third. You're not trying to steal. You're not trying to set up. I don't ever have to worry about you stealing. So I'm coming set, and you're just allowing me to stay into rhythm, and I'm never worrying about you stealing. And if you do, probably not going to happen. But okay, so I don't worry about that. So then now I get to focus all my attention on the offense, which you're just trying to live and die on home runs. So by not distracting me, you're letting me focus on not allowing you to hit home runs. So then your offense is going to be worse anyway. So now you're a one-dimensional offensive team and I get to rest easy on the mound. It's just, it's not good for them. They have to create something.
We're pleased to have joined the program for the very first time Bob Nightingale, Major League Baseball writer for USA Today, also has a Hall of Fame vote, which I know Josh is dying to ask him about. Bob, we're just getting into previewing the NL East. My man Josh Towers says the Mets are not winning this division. If you agree with that, who's the team most likely to pick up the pieces?
I still think the Mets win the division, but I think the one team that has a chance to knock them off would be Philadelphia Phillies. You know, they've underachieved, 23 blown saves. But, you know, their general manager is the most aggressive GM in baseball, Dave Dombrowski. And he came there to win now, not to worry about prospects. So I think, you know, they'll go for this thing at the trade deadline.
There's a couple teams that need to make moves, and the Philadelphia Phillies are clearly it as far as pitching is concerned. My whole issue with the Mets is they don't have any depth. They haven't had any depth in the organization for a long time. They traded everything off, and we're seeing it now with the two guys who pitched recently for them and started. They're not even really starters, and that's the best they have because everything's gone. And then they're out talking about making some trades, but they don't have anything to give up. This draft would have been the most important draft for them, because those kids are instantly prospects, but we've never seen them play pro ball. So again, I think with the length of the season, the 162, I don't think the Mets can hold on long enough. So I do like the Phillies play. I also, I mean, again, anybody in that division, in my opinion, could probably win it.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but, you know, I think Atlanta just, you know, with the Cuna injury, everything else, I think it's too much. I don't think the Nationals have enough, and I don't think they'll be that aggressive at the trade deadline. But you're right. I thought Chris Bryant was a perfect match for the Mets. But, you know, I heard the same thing this morning, that even the pieces they do have, they don't want to give them up. What they're trying to do is just buy teams players. Like, you want to get out of a contract, we'll buy up that contract and take them off your hands. So that's what they're trying to do. We'll see if it works. If some teams, you know, have a money crunch, you know, if the, Arizona Diamondbacks, you know, want to, I mean, they do want to dump Eduardo Escobar, but they'll say, you know what, we won't give you much, but we'll take the rest of his contract off your hands. So I think that's going to be their strategy here in the next 10 days.
Bob, give me a team that conventional wisdom might say is not going to make any moves or is going to be a seller, but you think will be a buyer at the trade deadline.
Yeah, I have to think about that one. Maybe the Washington Nationals fall into that category. You know, maybe, you know, the Atlanta Braves do as well. You know, Cincinnati Reds could fall in that category. We'll see how long Castellanos is out, you know, where they should probably be selling. But maybe they buy and try to hang in this thing because they have a weak second half schedule. You know, those teams jump the most to my mind, you know, right at the top of my head.
Do you think Cincinnati can – even without Castellanos, and let's hope that he's back soon, but you think Cincinnati can take over Milwaukee at all?
I don't, but they do have a soft schedule. You know, they've, you know, blown so many games. If they get another reliever, let's face it, never should trade Iglesias at the start. You know, that was a huge blunder. You know, if they didn't want to tender Archie Bradley, that was fine. But I thought Iglesias is like, you know, what are you guys doing here? So I don't think they can catch Milwaukee. But I think they're intrigued enough, like, you know, maybe they can still have a shot, particularly their schedule. And we'll see what Milwaukee does. I mean, Milwaukee could go for the jugular here and get some more help. You know, they're a different team ever since they got Adames.
We're talking with Bob Nightingale, Hall of Fame voter and columnist, USA Today for Major League Baseball. You can find him at B Nightingale on Twitter. The Giants have taken 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers. They blew the game that they lost in the 9th inning. They're still plus 310 to win the NL West. Is this, I mean, how long is it going to take for us until we might admit that this team is here to stay, or do you think the Dodgers still have too much form?
No, I think they are here to stay. You know, then the Dodgers returned the favor last night by blowing this save, but they're a very good team. And I think they'll be, you know, they won't be ultra aggressive, but they'll be somewhat aggressive. You know, they're trying to get, you know, another starter too, if nothing else, to keep them away from the Dodgers, the San Diego Padres. The Dodgers have problems. I mean, you know, Trevor Bauer is not going to come back and pitch for them. You know, Dustin May is out for the year. He's, you know, going to call Josiah Gray. You know, people say he's not ready. So they got to be aggressive here if they want to win the division. And let's face it, nobody wants that wild card team because, you know, I think San Diego, I don't see San Diego win the division. But, you know, who wants to face, you know, Yu Darvish in a one-game wild card game?
No, that's a good point. If anybody's set up for that one-card wild card, it is San Diego. What's the most impressive part, Bob, in your opinion, with the San Francisco Giants? Is it the coaching of Kapler and the crew for what they've done with the team that they put together? Is it the fact that they're leading baseball in home runs? Or is it this starting staff that they assembled that we've seen success in the past but weren't really sure what they can do this year?
I'm probably going to go with the home runs because that's a pitcher's ballpark. I mean, every pitcher that's going to be a free agent wants to go there because you can put up, you know, great numbers even if you're mediocre because of the ballpark. But, you know, for them to lead, you know, the league in home runs is stunning. I don't think anybody ever saw that. I mean, the only time that's happened is, you know, when Bonds and Rich Aurelia were there, you know, and, but, you know, Bonds had 73 home runs. So, no, it's a, you know, the way that club is assembled, the way, you know, Kapler's managed things, it's almost like, a, you know, just a, like a two-way thing in football, you know, where depending on the right-hander and left-hander, they can just keep throwing guys at you. And scouts say they're, you know, they're very hard to match up against.
Bob, I want to talk about Shohei Ohtani and this, you know, perceived slump after the home run derby. He's 4-for-21 since the All-Star break, one double, one home run, 11 punch-outs. His average now has dropped 10 points. I mean, how far can his average drop and he still win the Cy Young? Pitching, obviously, or MVP. Pitching, obviously, a big part of it. And really, Vlad Guerrero, the only one there that can pick up the pieces. He's plus 2-to-1. Shohei right now, minus 275. If you're holding a Shohei Ohtani MVP ticket, are you worried?
Well, I'm a little worried because of Guerrero. Hey, if Guerrero wins the Triple Crown, everyone's ever won a Triple Crown, wins the MVP. Now, what I think would push that over the top is it's not best player, it's the most valuable player. If Guerrero lifts the Blue Jays to the playoffs, and, you know, let's be honest, the Angels are not going to make the playoffs, that's, you know, that could be a big difference. You know, that means he out-homered Ohtani. I think Ohtani's getting more recognition now for the home runs than anything else. You know, he strikes out a ton. But, yeah, if a girl wins a Triple Crown, it's certainly not out of the realm of possibility. And if the Blue Jays get the playoffs, I think it'd be very hard not to vote for Guerrero for MVP.
I mean, yeah, you make a strong point. I guess when you win the Triple Crown, which we've seen Miggy do it, but that's about it since way back in the day. It does. I mean, you also made another valid point. You said it's not the the best player, it's the most valuable player. I think that's overlooked a lot, too, in this game. Because if Toronto does, and I don't think either team is going to make the postseason, but with Shohei doing both things and being such something that we all dreamt about and none of us were ever allowed to really do until recently. If he sits this whole season and plays and continues something respectful on both sides, I mean, wouldn't it be hard to not vote for somebody who's been doing this?
Well, it would because historical nature of it. And he's pitching, you know, hey, he's pitching better than he's hitting right now. You know, it may come down to a home run total. You know, I think if he, you know, obviously if he leads the league in home runs, means Guerrero did not win the Triple Crown, then I think it's almost impossible, you know, not to vote for him. So, I mean, he would have to have a good slump, but if Guerrero takes off, you know, it's going to be hard not to vote for him. Yeah, but like you said, particularly if the Blue Jays happen to make the playoffs, and they could as a wild card team.
Bob, when we look at the American League, does it come down to the White Sox and the Astros? Who's going to represent them in the World Series?
It could. You know, I don't rule out Oakland A's. They're still a very good team. They will be in the postseason. Cleveland won't. I like both the, I like the Astros and the White Sox, you know, better than anybody in the AL East. They're equipped. I mean, I would think you're the White Sox. You put some of the starters on some, you know, phantom injury lists, you know, make sure that Rodon is healthy for October. You know, same thing with Lance Lynn. Give him a blow here. We'll see. I think they'll pick up a second baseman. I mean, they like to get Trevor Story moved to second. That's their dream. I don't know if that will happen. You know, they almost had Escobar, and then Escobar got hurt, and the reliever got hurt. They're going to send to Arizona. So he's always an option. And I think they'll have to get one more reliever. I mean, the only disappointing part about the White Sox this year has been their bullpen outside Hendricks. I mean, everybody in spring training says this is the best bullpen in baseball. they go down as one of the worst in history. And, you know, outside Hendricks has been very mediocre.
Bob, we got about a minute left. Is that something that's been discussed, Trevor Story going to the White Sox and possibly moving to second base? I mean, would that be something that he's even okay with?
Well, he's got no choice in the matter. You know, he's never played second base in the major leagues. Well, you know, I'm sure he has in minor leagues. But yeah, they've talked to they've had ongoing conversations with the Rockies about doing that. Now the price tag's high for Story. We'll see if he's traded at all. But yeah, that's what they do is move him to second base because of course you have Tim Anderson at shortstop, and they believe his offense. They believe he's talented enough where he can play second base.
Bob, we really appreciate the time this morning. Terrific info.
All right, my pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. You know, I like the Phillies. I think if they get a bullpen here, because those top three, they can run those top three too and shorten that starting rotation. I think they're dangerous. When we come back, we're going to take a look at the AL Central. Obviously, the White Sox are the big favorite. But I want to ask Josh Towers, how is Lance Lynn so successful with just one pitch?
It's time to put on your lucky pair of Crocs and channel your inner fortune teller, because your prediction might just pay you $10,000 richer. The Crocs Hoops Draft Prediction Challenge is coming, and dare we say free to play on DraftKings.com. If the odds are in your favor, 10 G's could be yours. Learn more at DraftKings.com/Crocs.
First ever read. Very good. Nice job.
A Crocs read.
You may have a career in commercials now.
I told you, that's my son's favorite shoe.
A whole different avenue. AL Central. Couple topics here. I want to start out with the Tigers and what they've been putting together. I mean, this is finally something good happening out of Detroit in the state of Michigan. It's been a long time. But AJ Hinch has put a team together. He's got a lot of good arms, young arms. It's a blow. Spencer Turnbull's out. Tommy John. That might be a couple years.
That's going to be next year.
Yeah,
too.
That's a tough blow. But how impressed are you with what the Tigers are doing?
Again, this is the thing about baseball that I do like. You know, there's a lot of things that bother me, but they were written off pretty early in the season. And again, for them to make the postseason would be very difficult. And you got to think of like things like what Michael Former's done and what Michael Former's overcome. And now he's on a 10-day, but he's closing. He's 6 out of 8 in save opportunities, and he's thrust into a new role where it was first this middleman role, and then it was a reliever role. Now it's a closer role. Coming back from being a legit number one starter, they could almost build around. And then Tarik Skrubel, he was awful and shouldn't have been in the big leagues at all. And to be able to rebound your first year in the big leagues with struggles that bad and to rebound to have the success he had, it tells me a lot about AJ Hinch as the manager and the coaching staff, but it tells me that they had a process this entire time. And it's not about stats, which is what we look at nonstop around baseball. It's about the team, the development aspect, and what needs to be done to be successful, because none of this is like you're always improving. There's always something to work on. There's always a program. There's stages to everything, whether I'm progressing or I got to take a break to let the strength come back. I need to rest to crank it back up. Like there's so many different things from a fitness standpoint, from a throwing, from a hitting. And it just shows me that the Detroit Tigers, They had to find the right positions for people. They had to find the right spot in the batting order for people. And it took time, but everybody seems to be committed. Haas has been fantastic. There's just been a lot of guys. It's just everybody's kind of pitched in, and what are they? 6 in a row? I think we just hit a home run. That's 6-1 in the fourth inning right now.
7 in a row. They're only going to be, if they hang on today, they're only 4 games under .500.
I'm just so impressed with this team that even Mize, as good as he was, wasn't really that good, but there's just so many little things that I'm so impressed with that it is that hard in the big leagues to maintain over a full season, and to see them rise up when they should have just fallen off and walked away. And they were always this team that was never supposed to compete I'm impressed with the coaching staff and the commitment by the players. It shows me the transparency within what they're trying to do. And it's a really cool thing. A lot of teams should adopt what they're doing.
I've been impressed the last half decade with the Cleveland Indians and the way they've developed. They're all like that to me. I said the Phillies all had the same. They all had these right-handers. They were all the same pitcher. But Cleveland sort of develops this whole mold of pitchers. Any interest at all in the Indians to make the playoffs at 7-1? They're three games over 500.
I know. That's the thing. Yeah. Like, what's their strength, do you think? Top of your head.
It's the starting pitching.
Right. Which
I mean, they go through spells where they don't score. That's the problem. They don't score any runs for a week at a time.
And the starting pitching ERA-wise is 26 in the league with a 5-plus ERA. But that's the first thing that comes to mind as well.
It's skewed at the bottom.
It is skewed, but there's still somebody has to start every single day for them.
Right.
And the bullpen's been great. The offense is the same thing, 28th in on-base percentage. They can't score, but yet they're three games over 500. They hit a little skid, and they're still kind of in the mix. And the White Sox haven't ran away with this. Again, it goes back to coaching. And once they know how to manufacture, they know how to game manage, and they know how to keep things close, and they create opportunities to win, whether they're overly dominant in one aspect or another. And then the bullpen always seems to be respectful. Win when they're supposed to, too. You know, it's just crazy. Like, it's hard to ever write them off. And were they supposed to be this good? Were they supposed to be? They weren't supposed to be in this, as far as I knew.
No, because they lost too much. They lost Lindor, and they're hanging around. They're the second best team. We got about 30 seconds. How far out do you project our White Sox? Are they the team to beat in the American League?
They're the team to beat in the AL Central. Yeah, I would have.
I think the Astros are better. The Astros in the series?
I didn't preseason.
Yeah.
But I just think experience-wise, I think the White Sox, as good as they are, they still have a little bit of like question marks here and there. I think postseason-wise, like if they have to match up versus Tampa or Houston, I think it becomes an issue.
I don't think you can start Dylan Cease in the playoffs.
Tough.
His numbers are skewed because early in the year he beat the Tigers four times. Right. Throw those starts out, right? Yeah, absolutely. When we come back, we're going to go through our plays, the Palm Reader Playbook, a play I gave out this morning on Follow the Money, and then a play from this afternoon. And Josh Towers has a pair of plays for you as well. That's up next on The Nuts. The VSiN football betting guides are coming soon, and there is no better way to prepare for the college and pro football seasons. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats and power ratings, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Each guide is only $20. Discounts are available when you buy them both. Now is the time to reserve your copy or sign up for VSiN All Access. That's the way to go, John. Just sign up for the All Access. You get everything. Watch the shows whenever you want, on demand. You get point spread weekly, you get the football guides, you get all of it. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Well, we don't have them all here to say he doesn't have any plays today like he always does. But
there's
soccer
going on.
We do have World Series champ Josh Towers. I'm going to give my plays first from the playbook. Now, I'm not past posting you here because I gave this play out at 6:35 a.m. Pacific this morning, the Tigers. And it's the third straight day I'm riding the Tigers. It was a perfect spot for me because the Rangers haven't scored any runs since the All-Star break. You get Foltynewicz, who's going through the motions out there, and a Tigers team that's suddenly reinvigorated, and you're only laying $1.30, and it looks good so far. And then it's another fade play here for me against the Angels. You know, if Ohtani's not hitting, that lineup has trouble producing runs. My man, Kenta Maeda, I had him at 125-1 to win Cy Young last year. He finished second. I just thought he'd have... Josh, a huge year going to the American League where they hadn't seen him. He was the MVP for the Dodgers in that series they lost to the Nationals 2 years ago. He faced 14 batters. He gave up one hit, had 10 strikeouts. He was key in every game. They converted him to a starter. He did well this year. He struggled. I thought he was afraid to locate his breaking pitches within the strike zone this year. He's pitched a little better as of late, but I'm going to fade Mr. Haney and the LA Angels here. Twins minus 139 at home. Mr. Powers.
Kenta was – I was such a big fan of him. I still am. He was one of the better players on that team, clearly, with the Dodgers. But yeah, I mean, it just it I had him too in the Cy Young before the season started last year. He's that good. I think that, again, one of the things we're seeing, and it's hard for me with guys like him who's a veteran who's been there, is the underutilization of the fastball and how important the fastball location is. And to see him start going more breaking balls, they lost their pitching coach, or one of their pitching coaches. We got like 30 these days per team. He went to the Mets. And so there's a change there. So that can alter it with the analytics and how they prepare and how they face guys. And at some point, you kind of like just get frustrated and you throw it off and you go back to who you are. So, and then just the overall locker room atmosphere of the Twins has just been so down. And it's hard to have one guy like overly dominate when that happens, because the whole it's not a fun feeling. The other thing about Shohei, real quick, we talked about with Bob Nightingale about not necessarily the best numbers, but the most valuable player. And even so, again, now that I think about it, it's more of a case for the Angels and for Shohei Ohtani to win MVP, because if you take him off that team, they do nothing offensively and they do nothing pitching-wise. Zero. They're not even in the conversation. We're talking about them with the Orioles if they take him off the team. So he is still the most valuable player. Not too much like insight on these two plays. I have the Boston Red Sox coming off the series with Toronto and Buffalo, but more importantly off the Yankee series the other day, back against the Yankees, but at home, a little redemption type thing, a little bit of relaxation being at home. And I know the Yankees are playing better, but I just think it's a bad spot for the Yankees to come in right now. I think that whatever happened after the All-Star break and getting our feet back wet and being in New York and all that good stuff, it wasn't good for them. So I think being back in Boston with the Yankees in town, I think they're going to roll the Yanks. And then I don't endorse betting on the Cardinals too often with this horrible, horrible offense they have. But Kim's been amazing, and the Cubs on the road, that they're just not very good. And again, the Cubs offense is atrocious as well.
Cubs going to sell off here?
Oh, man.
They're not making the playoffs.
Yeah, they had that chance and they weren't. And now they're in a position where they have to hurry up and sell. I bet that they turned down offers about a month ago, thinking they had this opportunity, and now they're recalling these offers. These offers probably aren't as good. They have to. They have to get something, or you're opening a checkbook for multiple guys, Mike, for a ton of money. And it's the same guys, by the way, on the same team that you have right now that's not winning. So is that the right play for them? So I think they have to sell. It just depends on what they're going to get in return. And obviously the asking price for guys like Chris or Hobby is just going to be insane.
What a great graphic, Britton, they may put together for you guys, your power picks here. Amal's going to be jealous. He's going to want his face on there. You know, he thinks he's an Adonis. watch when he comes back tomorrow. He's going to want a whole different graphic for his picks.
You can't put all the, with all the different way to bet soccer and tennis, it just won't fit.
And you have to have a play every day, too, if you're a mom. Let's stick with, in our remaining couple minutes here, with the NL Central. I think this is the most flawed division in baseball, in that every team has a severe weakness. I mean, the Brewers don't hit the ball either. They're starting pitching pretty solid, right? I think Peralta has been great for them, maybe unheralded. I thought the Reds had the perfect opportunity. I bet the Reds to win the division. They had won the last three in Milwaukee, and then they come home to play the Brewers again, and Milwaukee takes three out of four. It was really, really, really disappointing there. So, I mean, it's really the Brewers' division here. Do they have a chance to make the playoffs? I don't know. You can still get them plus 550, plus 525 to make the play. I love Castillo. I've talked about how good Wade Miley's been. 10 of 11 starts, two runs or less. We haven't, Sonny Grace kind of is deteriorating now at the end of his career here. The bullpen's hit and miss, but should I just give up my hope on my ticket already on the Reds a little earlier than usual?
Sonny's been not good since he left Oakland. maybe Wade Miley should be their closer. I mean, maybe let him be the closer or something and switch that up. Cincinnati's still the team that I root for, but that bullpen, it has to do a much better job. There's so much inconsistency along the pitching side of that, but it's like the pieces are there. And then Milwaukee, obviously the pen's good. The starters, they're pretty good. I would say with those three dudes dominating, the pitching carries that team, but again, they're coached well. And they've been down this road where they don't panic in certain games. The Cardinals were my play to start the season, but that team can't score. And I think it's fair to say that the manager probably isn't the right manager for that team. I think they need something. I think that's the change for me more than anything is that aspect, because I feel like all the pieces for them are there with all the weapons they have. And again, the Cubs, listen, the one thing we got to keep in mind is we are friends, but at some point I'm also your boss. And I don't know if David Ross is more their friends or more their, manager.
Quick takes on a couple of managers. Is La Russa the right guy with the White Sox?
I think it's fun. I dig it. Yeah. We have to have rules in our lives, and without rules, we kind of just, it's chaos. And I think he sets that. He's his father figure, but he also sets rules, and we have to understand that this is a young man's game, but then there also is the history of our game, and I think they combine that.
And then the other one, Rocco Baldelli. High marks. They win the division in Minnesota last year. He's a Kevin Cash guy, and then, you know, the floor falls out.
I have no idea what happened there. You went from all right to what? With the same team. I have no clue. I can't figure that out at all.
Yeah. Probably big sellers, right, at the trade deadline.
It should be. Well, why not?
Barrios.
John Donaldson, Cruz. Get out of there.
I think
Nelson
Cruz,
you can get something.
Got to go to Oakland.
He's
right?
So good. Get something for him.
They got to go get him. All right, we left the West divisions in the National League and the American League to talk about. I'm really excited about getting Josh's take on the Padres and who's going to win the West in the National League.
If you're looking for a hot tip to bet on, BetRivers Sportsbook has you covered every day. Go to BetRivers app or BetRivers.com and find the game you want to bet on. Tap tips and you'll get instant research for the upcoming matchup. Try it out for baseball, soccer, tennis, and a variety of other sports. And make your experience even more rewarding, BetRivers offers most live streams of all major sports, instant payouts, and one-time playthrough. BetRivers, your hometown sportsbooks. Offers valid in Colorado, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Available at PlaySugarHouse.com in New Jersey. Must be 21. Gambling problem. Illinois, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. 1-800-994-8448. Colorado, 1-800-522-4700. Michigan, 1-800-270-7117. Virginia, 1-888-532-3500. In Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Are you available Monday to Friday, 11 to noon? I mean, that's your first time doing it, and you do it better than a mall that does it every day. Let's get this guy on the weekends doing 3- and 4-hour shows and let you have this cushy gig.
I love a mall, Reeds. It's funny to me.
On a serious note, before we get into the West divisions.
The Wests.
You worked in the minor league for the Mets,
pitching
coach. Mm. Right opportunity, looking for the right opportunity again to do that
me?
Type of work? Yeah.
No
more.
No, I thought about this a lot as well. I really enjoy coaching. I call it coaching/teaching because it's not really coaching. There's so many more life lessons that come into play than just the coaching of baseball. But I've said that regime with the Mets kind of ruined baseball for me big time. They ruined it for a lot of people. But I thought about that as well. I couldn't let 2 years of a regime ruin all the time I put in baseball. So it would have to be the right situation. But the honest to God truth is I wouldn't know if it's the right situation until I got there. And then is it worth that risk? Because I always tell my kids, if you start something, you're going to finish it. You don't have to go back, but you're going to finish what you start. And if I get somewhere in spring training and it's just not it, do I want to see it for 7 months through? There's a lot of things that I would like to do. I mean, if somebody said, we want you to be the director of player development for a system or be the pitching coordinator and you get to actually run that without any overhead, I would jump on that immediately because then I can create a development aspect to what I know creates success for the big league club in long term. But it would have to be a perfect situation. But if you asked me to go coach Double A or something, I would, no thanks, I'm cool right here.
You have more impact working with high school kids than you working with kids coming up through the minor leagues?
Yeah, they're more influential and, and you can impact them more and there's so much more that you can teach. And then there's good, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of kids in the minor leagues that I work with during the off season, that's equally rewarding. It's the politics of today's game that's kind of changed everything and makes it a little bit more difficult, right? But no, my phone rings all the time, and I love it.
AL West, how are the Mariners staying above 500? This team I think the preseason win total was around 70. We're almost at 100 games. There's still 6 games over 500.
Yeah, a couple names. Yusei Kikuchi has stepped up this year, even though his last couple haven't been it. Chris Flexen, who's 9-3. I think Chris is playing today, actually.
He's pitching today.
Flex has been absolutely another Met, by the way, absolutely phenomenal for this team. That's still not enough to where they're six games above 500. Because if you look at the offense for this team, it is not there. It's just
the worst average.
It's bad. But again, who cares, right? I mean, what is the goal? The goal is to win today. I don't care how. I just have to score more than you. I don't care if you score one, then I just have to score two. And how do we get it? And then once we get it, do we hold that? And are we manufacturing at the right times to tie the game to give us an opportunity? I mean, all the little things that don't get evaluated, they seem to be doing right. It's kind of cool.
How good is this tall kid, Logan Gilbert? I mean, they've won, what, ten straight starts?
I got to be honest, I've never actually seen him pitch, and I'm kind of curious to see
it. I watched him pitch Sunday because he went against Sandoval for the Angels. Yep. I mean, the kid's spotting it at 96 and 97. He's got a slider, and he's working on a changeup. If he could start to control this change, he's going to be dangerous.
Yeah, it's always the last pitch that pitchers seem to add, but it's probably the first pitch that you should always add, because if you add that changeup and learn to play that game, you're always going to be head and shoulders above the rest, and then this becomes – the breaking ball becomes the next one that you add in, and then the hitters don't know what to do because you already played this game. And then but again, location is the key. These kids, all of these kids have good stuff. When you can locate it, it's just a level change. And then again, like Jacob DeGrom, a million reasons why Jacob's so successful, but his location is the best part about all of it. He doesn't miss a spot.
He was 3-0 with the bases loaded and came back with three fastballs at the knees, 96, 97, 96.
Probably took three of them. Would they take the first one and the third one?
He took the first one and the third one. you got it right. Fouled off the second one. I've talked to you about this before. I think you're pretty convinced the A's are going to hang in there and get a wild card spot.
I like them.
Bob Nightingale says they can be dangerous in the playoffs.
Yeah, you got me puzzled.
Well, they
got
to win that first game when you're the wild card, right? They finally got over the hump last year in the wild card game.
They never seem to be able to do that part. I don't know. I mean, again, over 162 games, and you talked about it with Dylan Cease and some other people, 162 games, we don't really pay attention to where those wins come from. Sometimes you beat up on the right teams because you have to. Wins, where they come from, don't matter. You just have to have enough to get in. But again, once we get in, now you're facing the best of the best. And do they match up, and can they handle that in a five-game or a seven-game set? I don't know if Oakland's built for that, to be honest with you. They're kind of like Milwaukee to me. They're built to win and win the games they need to get to the postseason, and then once the postseason starts, they don't have the team or the manager skills to do what's possible. They have the right mindset. They just won't commit to it.
Astros lineup still very dangerous.
They're so
good. When they have their big six in that lineup, maybe it's the best in baseball.
Yes.
Can they get enough out of after Greinke? Greinke's still beautiful to watch pitch a ball game, but after Greinke, Framber Valdez, Luis García, Carson McCullers, do they have enough starting pitching to carry him to the World Series?
Is JV coming back this year?
I don't think so.
No,
but I don't know.
I mean, if he's in their plans to come back, if they feel I'll get him in September or something like that, imagine that bonus. You traded for him again, mm-hmm. in essence, right? So, the only good thing about that was always my question about the Astros coming this season was the starting pitching being so young. And Zach is such a quiet person. The social skills weren't always there early in his Kansas City years. He would have to kind of be offset. It's just something in his personality. If he's opened up and has become a leader to these kids, then that would probably have a lot to do with their success. But the other thing is with these young kids is they've also been in the postseason. They've also pissed out of the pen, which is the pressure situations of all of it. So they've kind of established at a very young age a relaxed, I've been there, done that mindset. And I think it's kind of showing off to where they're doing right now, starters. So I think it is a little bit more sustainable than I gave it credit for early in the season.
Let's talk about the NL West. When are we going to become convinced from a betting market?
I don't know.
That the Giants can win this? Because despite all the evidence so far, the Dodgers are still the overwhelming favorite to win this division. And, you know, they lose tonight. You're looking at, you know, every time they play the Giants, they lose ground instead of make up ground here. I mean, the season's starting to shorten up here. We're looking at about 9 weeks left. Maybe you take a little taste at plus 310 right now with the Giants.
About 67 games left? I mean, I'm definitely to win the NL West. At this point, I'm not taking the Dodgers at two.
No, you're not laying 225.
I mean, I'd rather take the Padres or the Giants for sure. I mean, again, 30 and 13 at home. I don't know if I've ever heard of that. They're 30 and 22 on the road, and they're also 25 and 21 versus teams with a 500 record or better. Where the Dodgers are actually playing 500 against teams with a 500 record, very good at home. But all these three teams dominate at home because the Padres do the same thing. The Padres' issue is the road, but they're 10 games over 500 versus teams with a 500 record or better. So they all have something very valuable that can propel them to win a division. And the Padres are 5.5 back, or the Dodgers are 2 back. If the Padres can figure out what they're doing wrong on the road, I mean, are they sprinting to out of the hotel room and to do something at night? Like, what are they doing? And then what is wrong with Blake Snell on the road?
Mm. We'll find out tonight. He's going in Miami.
If they can address that really quick, I think this is a very dangerous team. The Dodgers can't allow these two teams to sit where they're at for 67 more games, because at this point, and I've been waiting for this, at 6 point with the last third of the season, the Padres 100% believe, but the Giants also believe now. It's tough. I can't take Dodgers.
Are the Padres going to go out and get another start? You've got Darvish. Snell, like you said, has been bad on the road. Yep. Musgrove, the slider's hanging too much. Paddock's terrible. Awful. Stop telling me about Paddock. And they finally did what I said they should do. They moved Lomet to the bullpen.
Which is what you and I talked about, that he should be the he should be the setup to Melanson or something. The problem is
Melanson now, might be the setup to him.
The problem is they need Dilson back in the rotation. Because Paddock's not it. He's had his chances, and it's just clearly not for him. That's the crazy thing, is the Padres' bullpen leads all of baseball in innings pitched. And they're also the number one bullpen in baseball, which threw me way off. I did not expect them to be leading the league in innings pitched. It's not something you want. Whether it's working or not, you do not want that. Now, they do kind of pitch everybody, so there's consistency in that, which is a very important aspect to what they're doing. But this starting staff was their bread and butter when you look at it on paper to start the season. And now it's like, they should, with the strike zone, they should put a square in the strike zone when Paddock throws pens, and then black out the top half. And every time he throws a ball above that or at that, he owes a lap or something. Like, there has to be some, he needs to learn how to pitch down.
What's his out pitch? I don't know what his pitch is to get people to swing and miss.
I know.
It isn't that breaking ball.
Well, depends on if you're the offense, because the out pitch of the stadium is all his pitches. His ego was always big from what I understood early in his career. And it hasn't translated into learning how to pitch yet.
We got 40 seconds. Take us out with who meets in the World Series and who's your World Series champ right now.
As much as I, this makes me nervous to say, I actually think Tampa's going back to the World Series, which is going to make them very dangerous. And it's going to be whoever comes out of the West.
Do you think Glass now comes back and contributes before the season's over? They said he's ahead of schedule. He's throwing a baseball.
No. Once he comes back, I fear that it's going to cause an issue again, and then he will need surgery. That's my fear. It makes me nervous.
This was so fun. I love it. We could do this. I could do Follow the Money with you. I could do 3 hours. Stay tuned to VSiN. Up next, it's Betting Across America.